Good evening, everyone. We're going to commence our service this evening by turning and singing together the hymn 735. 735, Are You Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, Brother, in the Morning Bright and Fair. And after the introduction, we'll stand together as we sing, please. Still ourselves in God's presence, seek His face and His blessing this evening. Let us unite together in prayer. Eternal God and loving Father in heaven, we bow before Thee. In and through that perilous and that precious, that wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank Thee and praise Thee this night that we can draw aside and we can draw nigh to Thee. In and through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we thank Thee, O God, that we approach Thee upon redemption ground, knowing that it is a ground of peace. We come rejoicing this night that our Savior is alive. We come rejoicing in the sacrifice which He made for us upon Calvary's tree, that He took our sin and our sorrow in His own body, and He bore it to Calvary, and there He suffered and He died alone. But we thank Thee, O God, that the tomb today is empty. The stone has been rolled away, and Jesus is alive forevermore. We thank Thee for the finished work and the sacrifice, and we rejoice in the continuous work even now of intercession, the One who sits at Thy right hand, the One who pleads for us, the One who prays even now for us. And O God, we thank Thee that we have His message to proclaim tonight. We thank Thee for the good news of the Gospel. We thank Thee, O God, that it is that power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And, O Father, we do earnestly pray that each one that will hear Thy word tonight, that Thou wilt speak to them, that Thou wilt minister to every heart. We thank Thee, O God, for the opportunity of being here. We thank Thee for Thy hand of mercy upon us throughout this day. We thank Thee, O God, for drawing each and every one here tonight. We acknowledge that in Thy providence that Thou hast brought us here. In Thy providence Thou hast brought each and every one here tonight. And, Father, we do pray that Thou wilt prepare even hearts and that Thou wilt speak at the hearts this night. And, O God, that Thou wilt minister and give that word that is needed each and every one this night. Father, remember this work. Remember, O God, Thy servant, even in these days, we pray for him. We think of his ministry tonight, O God, in Ballymoney. We ask for Thy blessing to be upon it. Lord, that there will be that word in season, that word of encouragement for our sister McAfee as she will return to the land of her calling. Lord, undertake for this work as a whole. Lord, be near and bless every aspect, every avenue of it, from the work amongst the children and the toddlers, right up through the youth, O God, and the work amongst the adults as well. For every aspect, for every part of the work, we pray for thy blessing. We pray for the increase. O God, even at this time of year, as we think of harvest and we think of the ingathering of the crops, Lord, we pray for the ingathering of souls. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to be blowing once again upon our land, for the wind of revival and to sweep from north to south to east to west, for souls to be saved, for our churches to be filled, for backsliders to be restored, and for the presence of Almighty God to be in our midst once again. Lord, our land deserves a wrath. Our land has departed from Thee. But, O Father, we pray in mercy that Thou wilt remember us. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt speak. We pray that Thou wilt save. We pray that Christ will be uplifted. Lord, that there will be no longer a turning away from Thee. There will no longer be a separating from the things of God, but rather a separating unto the things of God. Father, where men and women, boys and girls will come away from the world, come away from the pleasures of the world, that they will give themselves to Christ and to Christ alone. Lord, remember us this night. Lord, bless, we pray, in every aspect, every part of this meeting. Remember our sisters who accompany with the music. Remember the one who has come to sing as well. Lord, bless her and encourage her in her own soul. May she know the help of the Holy Spirit upon her. And then as we come a little later on, O God, around thy word, Father, speak. Lord, work in hearts. Glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing our second hymn, the hymn 230. The hymn 230, life at best is very brief. Like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. The hymn 230 again will stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Whenever the Reverend McMillan booked me, he asked me, did I sing? And I said, no. And I'm very glad that then he went and booked a singer to come this evening. We're delighted to have with us Mrs. Natasha Atchison from our Ballygowan congregation. We're going to ask her now to come bring her first two pieces. Thank you.
As the world looks upon me, as I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Now I know I'm not wealthy, and these clothes, they're not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's all that matters, though the world may not see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me, I've a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again, who crushed my curse of sinfulness and clothed me in his light, and wrote his law of righteousness with power upon my heart. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who walks beside, who floods my weaknesses with strength and causes fears to fly, whose every promise is enough for every step I take, sustaining me with arms of love and crowning me with grace. My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who reigns above, whose wisdom is my perfect peace, whose every thought is love. For every day I have on earth is given him, to love and follow him.
Let me say a word of thanks to our sister for bringing those two lovely pieces. And certainly our hearts have been blessed, even through her ministry thus far. We look forward to hearing from her in a little while. We're going to ask our brother now, Mr. Hill, our brother Billy Hill, to come with the announcements, please, for the incoming week. Thank you.
We welcome everyone to our evening harvest service, and if you're visiting with us, we give you a special welcome. And we also give a very special welcome to our preacher this evening, the Reverend Timothy Ormerod, the minister of Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church. And we also give a very special welcome to our singer this evening, Mrs. Natasha Atchison from the Ballygowan Church. Special offerings are being taken today for the building fund. Put the gift in an envelope marked for the building fund and put it in one of the plates at the door. Please give as generously as you can. Tomorrow morning between 10 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. the parent and toddler group recommences. It will be held on the first and third Monday of each month. There are leaflets in the porch with the details. Please help to make these meetings as widely known as possible. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m, the children's bright hour, both here at the church and also in the band hall in Killaloe. Wednesday, 8 p.m, the midweek meeting, the preacher will be the Reverend McMillan. Friday night, 8 p.m, the youth fellowship. The speaker will be Mr. Fred West. Next Lord's Day, the 9th of October, 10:40 a.m, Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 a.m, morning service, 6:30 p.m, evening service. There will be a half hour of prayer before both services. Both services next Lord's Day will be conducted by students from the Whitfield College of the Bible. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
We do thank our brother for making the announcements and for the kind words of welcome. And we do certainly appreciate as well the invitation of your minister, the Reverend McMillan, to be here to be part of your harvest services today. It's always a joy to be here. And we've enjoyed the times of fellowship in the past. And we pray that the Lord will meet with us, the Lord will bless us as we're here this evening. Reverend McMillan mentioned to me, just to give you a brief update on the work in Six Mile Cross. I've been there almost 4 years now. We're thankful to the Lord for his hand and his help even to us over that time. And like all of our churches during the COVID time, everything stopped and trying to get people out and get things up and going again, there are those challenges. But we're thankful even over these last number of months there has been the blessings as well. And we give the Lord the praise for that. Individuals coming in and young people coming in, and we're thankful even for the mercy drops, and we long for the showers. The Six Mile Cross is in an area, part of Tyrone, where you're roughly about 75 to 80% Roman Catholic and the rest Protestant. So it is quite a needy area and quite a hard area in many respects as well. But the Lord is able to do and to give us much more than we can ask or even think. And we're certainly looking to the Lord for his blessing and for his help and for his prospering of the work there in the days that lie ahead. We'll sing one more hymn together, the hymn 737, 737, Come Ye Thankful People Come, raise the song of harvest home, all is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. We'll stand again as we sing this hymn together. ask our sister Natasha to come, please, with her final piece this evening. Thank you.
With blessing, as we gather in the grain, and our grateful thanks expressing, loud we raise a joyous strain. Bygone days of toil and sadness cannot now our peace destroy, for the hills are clothed with gladness, and the valleys shout for joy. In the spring, the smiling meadows don their robes of living green, as the sunshine chased the shadows swiftly o'er the changing scene. In the summer time, the story of a riper hope was told. Then the rich autumnal glory decked the fields in cloth of gold. Shall not we, whose hearts are swelling with the thought of former days, sing a joyous song foretelling future gladness full of praise? For the cloud retaineth with its covenant of peace, that as long as earth remaineth, harvest time shall never cease. Though the fig tree may not flourish, though the vine no fruit may yield, though the earth no flocks may nourish in the fold or in the field, still our hearts will trust his power, over ravens stoops to feed, and the hand that clothes each flower shall supply our utmost need.
Do thank our sister for ministering tonight. Certainly it has been a blessing to hear her sing, and we trust the Lord will bless those pieces to each and everyone's hearts, and will bless our sister in the days that lie ahead for her ministry, even on to him. Can I ask you to open your Bibles in the book of Ruth this evening? That little treasure in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth in the chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, read the opening verses together this evening. Ruth chapter 3, the verse 1, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, that's unto Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore and anoint thee. Put thy raiment upon thee and get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. It shall be when he lieth down that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie. Thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. She said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. It is a verse 2 we want to highlight and spend our time considering this evening, where Naomi is speaking and she says, "And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." And it's that final phrase, "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." I want to speak on the subject this evening, the Lord of the harvest. The Lord of the harvest. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence and seek His blessing and His help tonight. Father in heaven, we come before Thee. We thank Thee for Thy presence and for Thy help thus far in this meeting together. We thank Thee, O God, for the singing of the hymns, and Lord, for our sister who has ministered to us in song. We thank Thee for the reading of Thy word. And now, O God, as we come to spend this time around the things of Thy word and around the gospel, we pray that Thou wilt come, that Thou, O God, wilt touch me. Lord, empty me of self and of sin, fill me with Thy Spirit. We pray for that settling of mind and of heart. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt speak to each and to everyone here. We pray for that influence, that power of the Holy Ghost to be evident. And may the Spirit, O God, be brooding over this gathering tonight. And may that word be applied as it needs to be to each and to every heart. O God, come, I pray Thee. Glorify Thy Son, even through the preaching of Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Without doubt, harvest is a very busy time. Regardless what country you live in, or even what generation you live in, when it comes to the harvest time, and if you're involved in it in any way, you'll know that it is a very busy time. It is a very hard working time. Many farmers will go with very little sleep and with very little rest to ensure that all of the crops are brought in. Especially when you live maybe in Northern Ireland and countries like it, where if you get one good day, then it's absolute bedlam because you never stop, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. That can apply even to the silage time in the summer months, and it can apply to the harvest time in the autumn. I'm reminded of the summer time and speaking to a mother in our area in Six Mile Cross, and her son was sitting his GCSEs exams. And the father was a farmer, and he was begging, he was pleading, "Look, I need my son to go and rake that field." And the mum was saying, "Well, can you give him one more day? He's at GCSE to sit tomorrow, then he's yours for the summer." And such is the activity, such is the need, even on the farm, such is the desire to get it all in, that it's such a busy time. And everyone is continuous in the work. Everyone is working as hard as they can for as long as they can to ensure that the harvest is as prosperous as it can be. And the spiritual harvest is no different. Each child of God, we must work while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. The spiritual activity of each and every child of God must be that, with that emphasis in mind, that we must be in time even with our work, that we must give ourselves, that we must work as hard as we can for as long as we can to bring in as much as we can. Christ is, of course, the Lord of the harvest. You could call Him the foreman, even off the role and off the job that is before us. And even Christ in His work as the foreman, as the Lord of the harvest, He expressed that need for workers. Matthew 9 and verse 38, He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." There is a need, there is a desire even to see the children of God busy, to see the children of God at work for the Lord in His harvest. There is a set time to work. And there is a set need for the workers. One day the harvest, the spiritual harvest, will come to an end. Just as it did in Bethlehem all of those years ago. Whenever you read the opening two chapters, in chapter 2 especially, chapter 1 will mention of how the Lord has visited them in giving them bread. Chapter 2 brings you to the activity chapter. It brings you to that place whenever Ruth goes to the field. You read down through those verses and it tells us of how she went first thing in the morning, of how she continued to noonday. She had a quick break and she went back until the eventime. And she did that day after day until the wheat and the barley harvest was brought in. But the harvest did come to an end. So what now? What happens after the ingathering? What happens once all of the fields have been cut? What happens whenever all of the crops have been brought in? What happens to Ruth? What happens to Boaz? What happens to the crop? We can ask that question even in regards to the spiritual harvest. What happens when the spiritual harvest comes to an end? What happens to the crop? What happens to the workers? What happens to the Lord? I believe you have the answer in verse 2. And that final phrase of verse 2, because it tells us there, "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." That's the literal answer of what happened in Bethlehem, the end of the harvest. But I trust tonight in our time together we will see the spiritual parallel, the spiritual picture that there is of what happens when the spiritual harvest will come to an end. There are four things I want to leave with you. Firstly, I want you to see in verse number 2, the person. The person. It tells us, Naomi is speaking, she says, "Now is not Boaz of our kindred? Behold, he winnoweth the barley tonight in the threshing floor." You come to the end of the harvest time, there's only one person working. You can read chapter 2 and you will read of how busy it was in the fields. You'll read that Boaz, when he came to the field, he had a foreman over all of his workers. During that harvest, day after day, there was the reapers, there were those that handled the scythe, and they would go out and they would cut all of the crops down with the scythe, swinging day after day and seeking to reap and to gather. You had then all of the gatherers going behind and binding it together, binding the sheaves, stacking them, and then behind them would come the wagon once they were dried. And the wagon then, they would place it on the wagon and bring it to the threshing floor. In chapter 2 as well, you will read of the handmaidens, you will read of the widows. Because those that were widowed were allowed to come and to lift up the little scraps. To simply walk, as it were, with their eyes down, bent down, lifting every little strand that had been dropped. That's where Ruth fell in. She was one of these widows. She was one that went out and she lifted the little scraps from the ground. But now all of that activity, all of the work that was going on, that has all come to an end. And we come to chapter 3 in the verse 2, and it tells us there's only one man that's active. It's Boaz. It's the Lord of the harvest. Up until that point, everyone had been there. But now it comes to that night time, and we don't read of anyone else. We don't read of anyone else there involved in any way. We read of the Lord of the harvest winnowing his barley, winnowing his crop. You know, this reminds me of the spiritual harvest. As I said, that picture of activity in chapter 2, you have the reaper, you have the chief reaper, you have the foreman. You have all of those reapers doing all of their work. You have all of the gatherers bringing it all together. You have all of the maidens out lifting their bits that they're allowed and seeking to bring in that crop for themselves. You have all of the different activities with all of the different workers. That's the same in the work of God today. That's the same that it's always been. The work of the spiritual harvest is not just for one man. The work of the spiritual harvest is for all the different activities and all of the different workers. Even Paul spoke of this, because he wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, the verse 6, he says, "Paul planted, Apollos watered." There's different roles that the Lord has for us. There's different works that we can be doing. There's different activities that you can be involved in. But whenever it comes to the end of the harvest, it's only the Lord that's allowed to work. John the Baptist spoke of this. He preached of the coming of Christ, Matthew 3 and the verse 12. He said of Christ, "Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." It's Christ who's working. It's Christ who has the right as the Lord of the harvest to winnow his harvest. It's Christ who has the responsibility of the Lord of the harvest to take that crop that's been brought in and to separate it and to winnow it out. After all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. He's the risen Lord. He's the one that's now glorified. He's the one that's far above all. He's the one that's enthroned in glory. He's the one before all will bow and say, worthy is the Lamb that he should receive the honor and the glory. He is the one who will come, receive the blessing. He is the one who will winnow out his harvest at the last day. He is the one that's seated as a Lamb forever and forever. Christ and Christ alone is the Lord of the harvest. He is the person, but then secondly, I want you to see with me the period. Because it tells us, verse number 2, behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. It's nighttime. Boaz is working. And yet whenever you go into chapter 2, as we mentioned earlier, you go through chapter 2, Ruth was there from the morning until the evening. You never read in chapter 2 of Ruth staying through the night to work. You never read once of Ruth working through the night with a little candle looking for the scraps upon the floor. It tells us, chapter 2, the verse 7, she hath continued even from the morning until now. Chapter 2, verse 17, she gleaned in the field until even. Then she went home. She wasn't out at night. She didn't work at night. The reapers didn't work at night. The ingatherers didn't work at night. Now was a pattern for all of the harvest, day after day, was from morning until night. But at night, they stopped. But the end of the harvest is different. Boaz is not there during the day, but rather at nighttime, he's at the threshing floor, winnowing his barley. You know, even Christ himself used that metaphor of working while it's day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Only the God-man can work. And you look down through these verses that we read together, and not one reaper do you hear mentioned. Not one reaper has come and said, my Lord Boaz, can I help you? Not one reaper is there saying, my Lord Boaz, let me do it for you. You shouldn't be doing it. It's nighttime and Boaz is there. He's winnowing his harvest himself. Only Boaz. My friend, that time's swiftly coming. The night's fast approaching. The time of harvest is coming to an end. The Lord's return. Time for opportunity to be saved is drawing to an end. Fleeting days, we sang the hymn, telling fast, the die will soon be cast, the fatal line be passed. The exhortation of the hymn was to be in time. We live in days of grace. We live in a day of opportunity. We live in a day when the reapers are out, the harvesters are out. We live in a day whenever the invitation is being given. We live in a time whenever the gospel is to the forefront. You only have to even, if you're sitting at home, you can touch it, a couple of buttons on a phone, you can bring the scriptures up before you. You can dial into ministry, whether it be sermon audio or whether it be simply the different activities of churches. You can go in, you can hear the gospel simply by a couple of touches of a phone. It's never been more accessible than it is now. It's never been easier to hear the gospel than it is now. But that time will end. The last sermon will be preached. The last invitation will be given. The day will finish. Then it will be night. You'll not see another reaper. You'll not see another preacher. You'll not hear another gospel hymn being sung of invitation to come to Christ. You'll not see another man standing in the street handing out gospel tracts. You'll not see another gospel mission in a tent being put up. It'll be nighttime. All opportunity finished. My friend, tonight, if you're here and you're unsaved, I plead with you, be in time. Harvest will only last for so long. You see that every year. You'll see the farmers go into the fields. They'll spread their seed. They'll bury that seed in the ground. They'll watch for that growth. Then the time comes when the machines will go out and it all could be cut down and it'll all be brought in. The harvest comes to an end. It's the same spiritually. The Lord of the harvest is a set person. The Lord of the harvest works at a set period or a set time. But thirdly, I want you to see the verse 2. The Lord of the harvest has a set place. He has a set place. Verse 2, it tells us, "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." Boaz is described as being at the threshing floor. The threshing floor was, in actual fact, a wide open area in the field outside of the town of Bethlehem. And that was in such an area where it was an elevated ground. And so they had the most amount of wind. It was a place where there was absolutely no protection. It was a place where there wouldn't be any trees nearby. There wouldn't be any walls. There wouldn't be anything to stop the wind or to hold back the wind in any way. It was a wide open flat area on top of a hill on the higher ground so that whenever they winnowed, he winnowed his crop, the most amount of wind would be there to do the greatest amount of work. For the winnowing to be successful, you needed a good strong breeze. You needed good strong gusts of wind. And so when the crops were harvested, they were brought to that place, to that threshing floor, they would be stacked. They'd be laid one on top of the other in preparation for when the Lord of the harvest would come. What a parallel that is of Judgment Day. Because my friend, at Judgment Day, there's no protection. At Judgment Day, whenever the night cometh, whenever the end of time comes and the Lord returns and the Lord of the harvest comes to gather in His people and to even bring forth and to winnow out His own harvest, there is no protection. It speaks in the Scriptures about those crying for the mountains, for the rocks to fall on them, to hide them away. There is no protection for anyone from the wind of God. When God comes to separate the wheat from the chaff, you cannot hide behind another. Cannot be protected. It's a wide open place in Judgment Day. You read the book of Revelation. And you read in Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. It speaks about the Lamb of God in the midst and the throne and round about Him's 24 elders. The four heavenly beasts and roundabout some myriad of myriad, the thousands upon thousands of individuals, and they're all crying, "Worthy is the Lamb." You come to the book of Revelation, you come to the chapter 20. You come to the day of judgment. There's one throne. There's no other individuals there. It's as if all of the 24 elders with their thrones have all got up and they've left the scene and they've exited left off the stage and there's just the one throne, the great white throne of judgment, and there's no protection for anyone and all stand before Him, the great and the good, the small, the great. All are brought before the Lord. The sea gives up his dead. That wide open area. The Lord of the harvest will winnow His harvest. The wind of God in Scripture, you know, so often speaks of revival. The child of God, whenever we think of the Spirit of God, we think of that breath of God, the wind of God coming in revival. But you know, the wind of God also in Scripture not only speaks of revival for the Christian, it speaks of retribution for the sinner. Ezekiel 13 and verse 13, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury." Proverbs 11 and verse 29, it says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind." The wrath of God comes forth like a mighty wind. My friend, there's a warning to you tonight if you're unsaved. You remain in your sin. If you reject the gospel, if you reject the free offer of salvation, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the wind of God will be against you in that day. There will be no protection. There will be no hiding place. There will be no cover. The Lord of the harvest will come forth. And all of the harvest will be before Him for Him to winnow. You might even say, "To the mountains and to the rocks fall." But Revelation 6 and verse 17 says, "The great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" That place, the threshing floor, Boaz was there with his crop. One final point I leave you with this evening. Verse number 2, there is a practice. There is a practice. Verse 2, it says, "He winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." What was winnowing? I don't know if I have any old farmers in tonight that maybe in the past actually did winnow crop. And so I have to be careful to make sure I get it right. But winnowing, whenever they took it with the pitchfork and they would lift it and they would just throw it up in the air. And with that gust of wind and with all of the wind blowing through that open place, what would happen would be the chaff would be blown away to one place and the good seed or the good crop would then fall straight back down at his feet. And so that work in itself was done for separation. You cannot have the wheat and the tares together, the wheat and the chaff together. The Lord cannot accept both. There must be the separation of the one from the other. And so the Lord of the harvest would take it and He would simply throw it up in the air and that gust of wind would blow that which was light and nothing good in it, flew to the side away from the Lord. That which was good and profitable fell at His feet. The wheat would have enough weight in it to fall. The chaff would be blown away. Thus leaving that which was good for the farmer to take to himself. To ensure that he had a good crop for his winter. To ensure he had a good crop for his prosperity. No, Scripture is very clear, there is coming a time of great separation. Many times it's referred to in different ways in Scripture. Separation of the saved from the lost. Separation of the sheep from the goats. The separation of the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the tares. In other words, the two cannot be together and the two will not be together. Unsaved, I warn you tonight, I say this in my Savior's name, you cannot be numbered with the children of God unless you're saved. Unless you're washed in the blood of Christ. Unless you have turned from your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ. There will come a time of separation. There will come a time when no longer can you join with those that are saved. There will come a time, maybe even when you're separated from your loved ones, from your family members, because God will take unto Him that which is His, that which is good. God will separate the unsaved, cast them from Him. The wind of God's wrath will blow. Going back to the words of John the Baptist, there is an outcome for both the saved and the sinner. Luke 3 and the verse 17. John the Baptist says, of speaking of Christ, He will gather the wheat into His garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. Let me ask the question tonight, when you meet with the Lord of the harvest, how will you fare? When Christ returns to winnow his harvest, when Christ returns to separate that which is good from that which is evil, when Christ returns to separate the wheat from the chaff, where will you fare when he winnows it? Will you land at his feet again as that good crop, as that good wheat? Or will you be blown by the wind of God and his wrath away from him? Into the unquenchable fire. You know, the Lord of the harvest in his practice, he seeks to separate. But his practice was also done for security. Because verse 4, it tells us that after Boaz had winnowed his harvest, he didn't leave it. Tells us in verse 4 that when he lieth down, thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in. Once Boaz had separated the good from the bad, Boaz kept the good with him. He didn't abandon it. The Lord of the harvest would lie down that night to ensure that no robber came and took his good crop. The Lord of the harvest would gather it unto himself, and he would lie down as that shepherd, even that picture that you have of the shepherd lying at the door for the sheep, to ensure that no robber come in to steal away, or to ensure that no wolf come in to steal away the lambs. So it is with the harvest. The Lord laid down with his harvest. He was beside it at all times. He kept it. He protected it. He ensured nothing would take it away from him. So the believer saved. The believer safe. The chaff? Boaz didn't care about the chaff. That was blown away from him. He never had another thought about it. He never had another concern about it. He didn't go and gather the chaff together and say, I must keep this safe. The chaff is blown from him. He had no desire for it. It's cast to the fire. The wheat was what Boaz cared for. What a contrast. The one Boaz protected with his life, the other simply departed. My friend, that's the reality of the gospel. Those that are saved will be with the Lord. Kept, guarded, that none can ever pluck them from his hand. Those that are unsaved, separated from Christ. Final words. You die without Christ, the final words you will ever hear is depart from me into everlasting fire. I never knew you. My friend, if you hear those words from the Lord of the harvest, it's one thing a preacher saying those words, it's a completely other thing when the Lord of the harvest says them. You hear those words of separation. The Lord says, depart. Guarantee you this. They will be the most horrendous words you ever hear. Because you cannot argue. Cannot disagree. You cannot change the mind of the Lord of the harvest. His justice is perfect. His holiness is pure. No ungodly will ever come near God. They will be sent from him. and to everlasting torment and hell forever. The Lord of the harvest, right and responsibilities to winnow his harvest. And as I said earlier, he is coming. That day is coming. And how do you fare tonight? Can you say with that assurance in your heart, I'm ready to meet the Lord? I look forward to that day when the Lord will come. I look forward to that ingathering of God's people together. Or if you're honest before God tonight, do you know him? Is he your Savior and your Lord? My friend, if you're not saved here tonight, I plead with you in my Savior's name, don't leave here without Christ. Be saved tonight. Be numbered in the family of God tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You'll be saved. When that day comes, when the Lord of the harvest comes to his crop, to his harvest, he winnows it out, then you'll be with the Lord forever. I would hate to think that there's one individual in this room that will hear the words of separation. Depart. I never knew you. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who came to this sin-cursed world and who died for our sin. We acknowledge that not only is he the Savior, but he is the Lord. And God, we acknowledge that one day he has promised he will return. He'll gather his people unto himself and he will separate that wheat from the chaff. And Father, we pray, I will speak on to each and every one that has heard thy word this night. That I will convict, O God, the sinner. That I will save them. That I will prepare them to meet their God. Lord, separate us now with thy blessing. Undertake for this work in the days that lie ahead. Bless in each and every aspect of it. In Jesus' name. Amen.